Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is jazz vocalist, songwriter, and actress, Renee Marie. She launched her career in music in 1999 with her self-released debut album, Renaissance. She found success quickly, earning acclaim and awards, including the Best International Jazz Vocal CD by France's Académie du Jazz. Her 2013 album, I Want to Be Evil, is the first ever tribute album to the late Eartha Kitt, a project which Kitt's daughter has praised for, quote, helping to keep her memory and spirit alive. Renee Marie, welcome to Song Travels.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Michael. Thank you.
It's wonderful to have the opportunity to speak to you because I feel that your music is so worldly. I mean, there is wisdom in it, but also an embracing of so much of life and so many different styles. And to me, you have a planetary view of the world as opposed to just our country. Does that make sense to you?
It does. I think from being the principles that we were raised with as kids, our parents taught us to just look people in the eye at a very young age, how to shake hands, look people in the eye. And they constantly told us, no one is better than you, and you are not better than anyone else. We're all together in this. So maybe I think that kind of formed that viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also when you belong to a group that's marginalized, you tend not to think just in your area. You identify with other marginalized groups of people in other parts of the world. You know, I grew up under Jim Crow laws in Virginia. And it was something that the adults didn't really talk about to explain, hey, these are Jim Crow laws, blah, blah, blah. They just said, you can't go in there. Don't do this. Come back away from there. Go in this door. It was never really explained why. There's no real processing of all of that that happens. There's no processing of the discrimination. And then once the discrimination was, quote, unquote, over and integration was in effect, then there was no processing of what had just happened and how to do this. You know, the phrase that we use all the time was onward and upward. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward. And so it leaves a lot of unresolved stuff inside. Some people do very well and can move on very nicely. Me, I got to talk about it.
Or maybe
I got to sing about it. I got to put it in my music because even outside of English language, my music is a much bigger expression for me. So whatever is in that music, that's the real me, you know. You know what I mean.
I do. I do. What kind of music did you listen to when you were very young? What were you exposed to?
All kinds, except jazz.
Except jazz?
Except jazz. My dad had a record collection you would not believe. Burl Ives.
Oh, I loved his
Mitch
voice.
Mitch Miller and his gang.
Sing along with Mitch.
Sing along with Mitch.
The bells are ringing. Yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah. What's the guy saying? Dale.
Harry Belafonte.
Classical music. And then later on, there's Miriam Makeba, Peter, Paul, and Mary, James Brown.
So a lot of folk music affected you?
Yeah. Because my siblings and I, we all sang. And we played this game called choir at night. And when we were all in the bed, seven of us. And the whole idea was one person would pick a note. And everybody else was to find a note that harmonized with that without repeating someone else's note.
Wow.
You know, and then my sister, she would say, okay, everybody take it up a half step. So then we took the whole thing up a half step. It was fun. I learned about harmony that way. And so we listened to Peter, Paul, and Mary in the same way and sang those songs, that harmony, that tight, you know, harmony there. Loved it.
That's fantastic.
We still sing it when we get together. We still sing one of those tunes. Nice.
I'd like to get to some music before we continue with your biography, which is fascinating.
Okay.
Your most recent recording is one that pays tribute to Eartha Kitt, who was certainly the most amazing force of nature. Before we talk about her, can we do a song that is on the recording It's something that I'd love to do with you live. C'est si bon.
Oh, c'est si bon. Oh.
Okay.
Oui, oui. I don't know.
Let's give it a go.
Okay. C'est si bon. Lovers say that in France, when they're thrilled to romance, it means that it's so good. C'est si bon. So I say it to you, just like the French people do, because it's oh so good. Every kiss, dear, leads to only one thought, and it's this, dear, it's so good, nothing else can replace, just lightest embrace, and if you only would be mine for the rest of my days. I'm gonna whisper this phrase, my darling, c'est si bon. De partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons. C'est si bon de se dire des mots doux, de petites rien de tout, mais qui en disent long en voyant notre mineur à vie. Le passant dans la rue nous envie. Ou bien de rien tout, c'est bon de guetter dans ses yeux un espoir merveilleux qui donne l'offrison. C'est bon, ces petites sensations, savez-moi combien million, tellement. C'est bon, c'est bon. Assez, c'est bon, c'est bon. Ouh là là, c'est si bon.
C'est si bon. Oh.
It's so good.
It is. That's what it means. Thank you, Renee. I've never performed that song before. I've always listened to it and enjoyed it. I love what you do with it. It's no small feat to pay tribute to someone and make the song so much your own at the same time.
Yeah. That's the thing that worried me about putting on the CD that was a tribute album. It just seemed like so much pressure.
Didn't you say you would never do a tribute album?
Never, ever do tribute albums. It's just, you're setting yourself up kind of, you know, for failure. Because there's always somebody that just loves that person that you're doing this musical tribute to. And they expect you to sound like that person. Mm. Well, first, I would never try that, except in jest or to have fun, like during a live show. There are a couple of little things that...
Let people Eartha hear a little known. Bit of... Do an approximation, so for people who don't know Eartha's voice.
Well, there was this spot here.
Wait, now. So there is a verse. There's a verse to I Want to Be Evil, and she says,
I pose for pictures with ivory soap. I take in stray dogs, and I steer clear of dope. My smile is brilliant. My glance is tender. But I'm noted most for my... unspoiled gender. Prim and proper.
Okay, that's enough.
It's Eartha Kitt. She came to prominence in 1952 in a Broadway show called New Faces in 1952. I don't think people knew what hit them when this extraordinary woman came on the scene.
Right.
And she became a huge star and was controversial because in the halcyon days of the 50s, she would not... play the game and compromise.
She was determined to be herself. And wow, what a past she had. I mean, the way I look at it is, during that time, here's this black woman in a white world, but she wasn't really accepted, completely accepted in that world because of Jim Crow laws. So some of the very places, these amazing venues that she sang at, she couldn't go through the front door.
Or something, or if there's a casino, a hotel, couldn't stay in them.
Right. And then, because of that, though, of her partying and hanging around all these well-to-do white people, black people saw her as, a traitor to her race. And she just didn't really fit in anywhere, you know? Mm. She had these great love affairs and... but nobody would claim her publicly. It just... Hmm.
What musically attracts you to Eartha Kitt?
Her voice and her delivery and the song choices. Yeah, but I think mainly the delivery. Because Eartha's voice it's one of a kind, you know. It's easy, like, for me to think that I could imitate it. And I realize I'm not really imitating it. But just her delivery is... she's aware of her sensuality and sexuality, and she completely owns it. And, of course, my introduction to her, although I didn't know who she was at the time, was seeing her on the Batman series as Catwoman and being scandalized. Like, this is a little black kid, you know, looking at a black woman acting like this. And she just was totally in that role. Oh, my God. So it's a big eye-opener, big one.
One of the songs you included on the tribute to Eartha, I Want to Be Evil.
I was waiting for you to say that, yes.
I can't help it. I love that line, I want to spit tax. How did they come up with that?
You know? I love it.
You did a Cole Porter song that has been sung by many people, originally by Mary Martin, and then Marilyn Monroe did it. And you have a very interesting take on it.
And that's the Southern girl take. It's the grits take.
Well, isn't it interesting that Cole Porter, who was the ultimate sophisticate, came from Indiana, from a farm town in Indiana, and wrote a song that can relate to all of us on some level?
Yes, 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 yes. I have so much fun with that song. And I got to say, I'm going to make a confession here, that I've always loved that song, but I just thought it was too kitschy to sing like as a... In a jazz environment, like people would like, what? She's singing My Heart Belongs to Daddy. Because I'd always heard it while tearing off a game of, you know, all that sexy ding, ding, ding. And I thought, I want to do it with just, if we're going to do it sexy, let's go all the way. So all those little innuendos, I just love giving voice to that, you know. It makes me smile.
May we do it together?
Yes, 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 let's.
All right. Yours truly at the piano, as they used to say. And our guest, Renee Marie, performing My Heart Belongs to Daddy. Mm.
used to fall in love with all those boys who maul the young ladies. But now I tell each young gazelle to go to hell. Oops, I mean Hades. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But if I do, I don't follow through. My heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine fin and Hattie, I just adore him asking for more. But my heart belongs to Daddy. My heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. I'm gonna marry my Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddies, though I think that you're perfectly. My heart belongs to Daddy, 'cause my daddy treats it so well. My dad. treats it and treats it, and then he repeats it. My daddy treats it so well.
Oh, that was fun.
You see what I'm saying about the lyrics, right?
Yeah. And you sing the original words in the verse, which now I tell each young gazelle to go to hell because it was cleaned up later.
Yep. And I changed it from major
to you minor. You do this kind of minor thing, which makes it even more, more what? More
kitschy.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess. One of the things I love about your singing is your incredible enunciation. It is clear that you are very connected to lyrics. And some of the singers whom I love, I listen to selectively because I know that they aren't always as connected to the lyric. Like, I adore Sarah Vaughan. And sometimes I know she doesn't know what the heck she's singing about. And it doesn't matter. I mean, because she's doing this amazing stuff that is so incredibly musical. But she didn't always seem to me to be dialed in. Yet everything I hear you do, it sounds to me, as incredibly musically creative it is, it sounds to me like it's lyric-driven.
Well, I'm very fortunate to work with a record label that allows me to choose every single song that goes on CD. I will not sing a song that I don't connect with. You know, I just refuse to do it because as a singer, as you know, that's what we got. We got the lyrics. That's what separates us from the rest of the crowd, the musical crowd. We have the lyrics. And people hang on to the lyrics. And so what I try to do is think about what was the original lyricist and composer thinking when they wrote these lyrics? And am I conveying the meaning behind that? Because there's that meaning, and then there's the story behind that song, you know, and then the sub-story and the sub-story. You can do it all kinds of ways. There's so much you can do with a lyric.
So taking a song like Surrey with the Fringe on Top.
Yes.
How do you take a song that was sung by a cowboy in Oklahoma and turn it into what you did with it?
Well, the Surrey today is a jaguar in my mind. That's the Surrey. The Fringe on Top is a jaguar. And everybody's got like their favorite luxury car that they just go, oh, that is so sexy. Well, back then, it was the Surrey with the Fringe that was the sexy. And Curtis, I think that was his name, the character's
Curly.
Name? Curly. Yeah, yeah. He knew it. Uh-huh. He's like, I got a jaguar. She's going to love this. How she's going to fall for me, man. This is it. Nobody's got one like this.
Fantastic.
And he's just bragging about it, you know, and she's feeling good, too. So I love that. And then the way the verses of the song go, you know, he's kind of like walking the horse in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And then the middle verse, the horse is in full gallop, or it's going pretty fast. And then the last verse, you know, I can feel the stars getting blurry when you take me back home in the Surrey. So they've been out all day.
Right.
And oh my goodness, I just love it. It gives me chills when I sing it because it's such a happy little tune, you know, and it's sexy in its own little way.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Yeah. It was, ultimately.
Yeah, so I have to think about it and approach it like that. What was the lyricist really talking about when he said, pull down the shades?
Yeah, that's another coded message.
Right.
Let's listen to at least a part of your recording of it from your album Vertigo.
Thanks.
Surrey with a Fringe on Top, our guest, Renee Marie.
chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when you take me out in your Surrey. When you take me out in your Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when you drive them high step and strutters. Nosy folks will peek through their shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard is genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Bright sunlight winking and a blinking. Ain't no finer rig I'm a thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that cute brown, cozy, sexy Surrey with the fringe on top. All the world will fly in a flurry when you take me out in that Surrey. When you take me out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. When we hit that road hell for leather, cats and dogs will dance in the heather. The toads will howl. The wind will whistle as we rattle along. The cows will moo in the clover. The river will ripple out a whispered song and whisper it over and over and over and over and over and don't. I wish it would go on forever. How I wish it would go on forever and would never stop. In that cute brown, yellow wheel leather, sexy Surrey with a fringe on top.
Our guest, Renee Marie, performing Surrey with a fringe on top. That makes me think of that song in a very different way, and I've known that song my whole life. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, thinking back on it, it sounds like I have a one-track mind. But there's a lot of juice in these songs. You know, you can just keep squeezing for years and years. See, there I go again.
There's more coming up in a moment with jazz vocalist, songwriter, and actress Renee Marie. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Song Travels from NPR Music. Renee, one of the reasons your story is so inspiring to me is because you are, to use a euphemism, a late bloomer, that you didn't start singing till you were around 40.
Mm-hmm. 42, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's clear that when you started singing at that point in your life, you were already fully formed. So you must have been singing in some way.
Oh, yeah.
Did you sing? Where did you sing?
Everywhere I went. I was singing at work. I was singing the theme song to Gilligan's Island, and I had my whole department at the bank singing along with me.
A three-hour tour.
And at the very end, my manager comes out of his office and goes, "Here on Gilligan's Isle," and that's when I knew I had him.
That's fantastic. So,
yeah, I did. I truly did. I think I bugged them to death.
What kind of job was that?
I worked in the commercial services department of the bank. So we didn't have, we weren't face-to-face with customers. We did a lot of on-the-phone communication, so.
Sounds like a happy experience.
Oh, singing is always a happy experience. I sang in the car. I sang at home constantly. I drove my brothers and sisters crazy when I was little because music just meant so much to me, even back then. And my mother gave me so much, still does, give me so much support. My whole family does. They do.
What a blessing.
I love them.
You've spoken about leaving a marriage because your husband did not want you to sing, would not allow you to sing. What was the situation?
He was, we actually met in a band when we were teenagers. I was 15, he was 16. Just a little neighborhood band.
And what did he play?
He played the keyboard at the time. And then we got married very young. I was 18. And we also became members of a very strict religion. And we stopped singing in public and playing in public. So only at home. And he's also learned about four or five other instruments, you know, guitar, saxophone, flute. And at first he was okay. Like when I first started singing in at 42, he was cool with it. My oldest son talked me into it, into singing. So we went home and talked about it as a family. And he was cool with it at first. But after about a year, when he saw, like he would come to the show sometimes and he would see the reaction that the audience was having to my singing, he told me, stop. And I had promised him, because I was a good little obedient wife, I said, if any time you want me to stop, I'll stop. So I did 3 months of torture, not being able to sing. I begged him, please let me sing again. And he finally relented and then tried to get me to stop again. Actually, he told me if I didn't do it, I couldn't stay. If I continued to sing, I had to move out of the house, which was just the push I needed to help me decide, do I really want to do this? Or do I want to stay married to somebody that issues ultimatums? Never a good choice, by the way, regardless of what the ultimatum is. So,
well, when did you start writing songs?
Well, you know, what do you call writing? Is it when you put it on a piece of paper? Is that writing a song? Or is it making up a song in your head and remembering how it goes and then teaching it to other people? Is that writing? Because I did that when I was a kid.
So you did it all your life?
I guess so, yeah.
And when did you...
It seems to come easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy for most people. And yet, since you have been doing it in some way your whole life, at some point, you actually created something that you sang for the public. And when was that? Did you have a defining moment? Was there an experience of, I'm going to sing something I created for you now?
That I wrote? No, I shied away from singing stuff that I wrote, like in a formal setting of music, because I didn't have any musical training. I didn't go to college. I didn't have any theory background. I only had 2 years of piano lessons. And based on that, and listening to what other musicians were doing and asking a lot of questions and asking for help, I was able to figure out how to quote unquote, write the song so that somebody else could read it and play it with me. Mm-hmm. But the thing about why I say it came easy is because I didn't realize that what I was doing at the time was writing a song. I just singing. I was, and I think that's the thing when we start saying, oh, I'm going to write a song now. Then we freeze up and we think it has to be a certain way. But if you don't know the rules, you're not worried about breaking them.
It's so true. That's how a lot of great art has been created.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you perform a cappella, which is something that I have rarely done, I guess because I hear all the harmonies in my head and it kind of drives me a little crazy. But I'd love it if you did something a cappella now.
Okay. Typically I do this with my drummer, but I don't see him around here anywhere, so I'll be happy to do it. Thank you for asking.
Oh, sure. Do you need something to approximate rhythm?
We can find something wooden, a box or something I see around here. How about that guitar, that wooden Will that work?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'll get out of the way.
Of the name of it. I guess I should say that, right?
Please.
The name of it is Come On to My House.
One lonely, beautiful girl coming home from the market one day. See handsome brown-skinned boy, fell in love with him right away. He look at her, she look at him, but she didn't know just how to say she love him, she want to marry him. So she told him wonderful things in a very strange way. She said, come on to my house, I gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum, let you play my drum. Come on to my house, I gonna give you figs and dates. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you grapes and the cakes while you watch me shake. Hey, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. I'm gonna give you everything. Well, come on to my house. I'm gonna give you a Christmas tree. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you a peach and pear. Let me touch your hair. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an Easter egg and let you touch my leg. Woo! Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. I'm gonna give you grapes and the cakes while you're watching me shake. Hey! Apple and a plum, let you play my drum. Peach and pear while I touch your hair. Marriage ring and everything. Woo! Come on to my house the rest of your life. Come on. Come on. Come on. And I'll be your wife. Hey. You know I'll be your wife. But you got to come on. Come on. Oh. Come on. Don't be scared. Take my hand. That's it. Come on. Hey, come on. Come on. Gotcha.
Come On to My House, a version that I've never heard before because it was live. I love that. You kind of played with the lyrics a little bit.
I did.
In the best way, in the best way. And that song is fully fulfilling without the... Mitch Miller harpsichord that he put on Rosemary Clooney's record. So I know it because I knew Rosemary Clooney, so I heard that song a lot, but I never heard it like that. And she would have loved that because you really get to the essence of what that song is really about. Mm-hmm. There you go again.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But did you ever hear Eartha sing this?
No.
What? Yeah, she sang it in Japanese. I swear. She sang it in Japanese.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Huh. Well, I must hear that.
I know she sang in many languages because mm-hmm. she was very proud of it, like 6 or 7. And yeah. Ushkadara, which is Turkish,
I
think.
Yeah, I love that song.
But Come Out of My House is, it's kind of, I think it's described as being an Armenian folk song.
It is.
And I know that.
Or based on an Armenian folk song, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know it was featured in a play on Broadway called The Circle.
And I didn't know that.
It has music by Ross Bagdasarian.
Yes.
Who later created Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yes.
And the words are by?
William Saroyan.
Yes.
Right. You know, there's a recording on YouTube of Ross Bagdasarian and William Saroyan singing that.
Really?
And they're the ones that, did I just tell you something that you didn't know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And they actually are the ones that I heard do the verse, and I was shocked. There's that verse, you know, a lonely, beautiful girl. Yeah, had a little verse to it.
Well, I must check that out. Well, speaking of songwriters, you recorded a song written by Dave Brubeck that was part of what I'd call a concept album.
Uh-huh.
Would you talk about that recording? Because I'm fascinated by it.
Well, it's from Voice of My Beautiful Country. And the title track is a suite that I wrote based on a question that an interviewer asked me when I was in Russia, and she referred to me as an American. Like, as an American, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? And I almost corrected her by saying, oh, no, I'm not American. But I stopped myself in time, thank goodness, you know. And I was shocked that I had that thought and very hurt inside and wanted to find out what in the world is going on that I would tell somebody I'm not American. So I went home and wrote essays and stuff, just personal stuff. And out of it, I decided I'm going to take these patriotic songs that I grew up singing and always felt didn't really apply to me. The lyrics didn't really apply to me. And I'm going to change the music, keep the lyrics, but have this music reflect my background. I'm an American too. And then I took Lift Every Voice and Sing and superimposed those lyrics over the melody of the Star Spangled Banner. So that was like the crux of that project, Voice of My Beautiful Country. And then I thought, but there's other like American music that I love. I love, you know, Drift Away and Just My Imagination. And, oh, what about Imagination? And then there's, you know, Dave Brubeck. Wow, he's an American composer. Strange Metal Lark. That bird is common in the U.S. So I was just picking tunes that, Oh Shenandoah, you know, that really meant a lot to me as an American. And I wanted to give a musical voice to that feeling.
I'd like to play your recording of Strange Metal Lark.
Okay.
Here it is, sung by our guest, Renee Marie.
What a strange meadowlark to be singing, oh, so sweetly in the park tonight. All alone, meadowlark, are you dreaming of the moons that burn so bright and of love in flight? Sleep, meadowlark. Is there nothing left but whistling in the dark? So sad was it, love, meadowlark. Were the songs you sang last summer crazy and mad? Think of all you had. A quiet nest way up in the clouds where the soft winds blow far from all the noisy crowds where the earth bound goes. Your wings have brushed again a star, boundless words.
Try your call, won't turn another lark. In flight, he has gone. He's gone, meadowlark. You can sing your song until the dawn brings light. Yes, sing with all your might. Oh, sing into the dark. Go on, sing your heart out, meadowlark, meadowlark, meadowlark. Now swing, little meadowlark.
Strange Meadowlark, written by Dave Brubeck and performed by our guest Renee Marie from her CD, Voice of My Beautiful Country.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the title Voice of My Beautiful Country come from?
Well, I took the patriotic songs. There's America the Beautiful, so I took Beautiful from that. My Country, Tis of Thee, took Country from that. And Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I took those three. I mean, I had to do a little playing around with it, but then I said, hey, Voice of My Beautiful Country.
Voice of My Beautiful Country.
Right. And it has that meaning that all these songs taken together, and there's such a variety of them. You know, John Henry is in there, the folk tune.
Mm-hmm.
All these taken together is just like one collective voice. And American music is so special that way. I love that about our music, you know.
Me too. It seems to me that everything you do is on some level therapy. I don't mean for you, but there's an intention of what you put out. It's more than just about making people feel good. It's about wanting people to really feel something that makes them look inside themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's so important to me. If you're listening to me sing and you don't feel anything, I don't see the point of me being up there. And I feel very strongly about that. Not just for myself, but for other musicians and especially singers, because, like I said before, we have the lyric. I look for, you know, that look on people's face in the audience when you just sang a lyric that you know they are moved by, and that look of devastation and joy at the same time, like they've just tasted a brand new food that they've a texture they've never tasted, and a flavor they've never had, and that look on their face is like, you just touched me. That is what I aim for every single time.
You have created so many extraordinary things. You have given the world so many gifts.
And thank you, Michael.
I appreciate that.
It's hard to see it that way, you know. We kind of muddle around in the middle of it, and you can't see it that way. But I appreciate you saying it. I certainly see you that way, absolutely. But
now you sound like a relative.
Do I? What, your relative or one of my relatives?
Probably the same, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
You have that aunt that,
the one? Oh, yeah. Well, let's do one more thing together before we say goodbye.
Okay.
There's a medley that you do of songs about the facce.
The facce.
The facce.
Yes.
And I know you do it a cappella, but I would like to try this impromptu with you just to see if I can keep up with you.
That would be awesome.
All right, this is truly, for me, Fly by the Seat of the Pants, in collaboration with Renee Marie, a smile medley, let's call it that.
Great. Let's get to it.
Okay, here we go.
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, everybody's laughing, and the sun comes shining.
But when you're crying, you bring out the rain. So stop that crying and start smiling again. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles. The whole world smiles. The whole world smiles. When your heart is aching, even though it's breaking, though there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your pain and sorrow. Smile, maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near. That's the time you gotta keep on trying. Smile, ain't no use in crying. You'll see that life is still worthwhile if you just make just one someone happy. Make one heart the heart you cling to. One smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. Someone you're cause fame, oh fame, if you win it, just comes and goes in a minute. Where is that real stuff of life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love, that's the answer. And when you found them, build your around them and make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Then you will be happy. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles. The whole world smiles. Oh, the whole world smiles. If you
oh boy, isn't it amazing how you never know where exactly what's gonna happen? I love just feeling what you were doing and trying to phrase.
I am not singing this song a cappella anymore. This is the way to go. How could I not hear that? You're listening so close. I love that. And we were just right there together. I felt it. I don't know. I think it was there, Michael.
Well, it felt like it to me. That's a great honor and a privilege.
Thank you. I feel the same.
Thank you for being on this program. You are a great gift, and all blessings to you, Renee Marie.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to Song Travels with host Michael Feinstein and his guest, Renee Marie. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at Hirsch Studios in New York City, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Associate producer, Laura Hunsberger. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Mastering engineers, Andrew Shire and David Mitchell. Production manager, Kathy Bradbury. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Gruntman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is songtravels@scetv.org. To learn more about the artists and music on Song Travels, visit our website, scetv.org/songtravels. Song Travels is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, and by NPR member stations and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.